I recently heard an Instagram influencer, meaning he has 2.6 million followers, who said, quote, "You were made for greatness. You were born for greatness. You weren't made for average or ordinary," end quote. Now, honestly, when I first heard this video clip, my nerd mind immediately kicked in, and all I could hear echoing in my head was that line from the animated movie The Incredibles, when the villain Syndrome has the entire Incredibles family captured.
Everyone can be super. And when everyone's super, no one will be.
Now, to be fair, I've heard this same born for greatness line from hundreds of motivational speakers, teachers, pastors, etc. over the last 25 years, but my analytical side always bristled at such all-encompassing language. Were we all made for greatness? Really? All of us? Practically speaking, if we were all made for greatness, then doesn't greatness by definition become the new normal, the new average? That probably explains why that line from an evil villain like Syndrome stuck with me from the moment I heard it. I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? And furthermore, what exactly does it mean to be great? A great man, a great woman, a great parent, a great friend, a great leader, a great student, a great artist, doctor, teacher, salesman, musician, athlete, speaker, blah, blah, blah. What does any of it even mean? How can you be something that you can't even define? Now, if you've ever struggled with the thought or even pressure of greatness and whether or not you could achieve such lofty ideals, then this episode may be just the information and inspiration you've been waiting or searching for. And here's why. I don't personally buy into the stereotypical greatness line of thinking. Instead, I believe that you were made for more than greatness. Much more. So much more. Let me explain. But first, let's have a little fun with math, air quotes. How many people are there in the world? A trusty Google says today's global population is almost 8 billion. That's billion with a B. Of course, that doesn't really tell you anything except how crowded some cities are right now. I'm actually interested in a different number. I want to know how many people have lived since, let's say, 1800, just 220 years ago. We'll take the U.S. as an example. There are currently 331.9 million people living in the U.S. But if I look at the number of births since 1800, more than 1.4 billion people have been born in the U.S. in the last 220 or so years. So the current population only represents around 23% of all people born in the U.S. just in that short time period. Now, using that same percentage as a guide, it probably isn't too ridiculous to suggest that just in the past 220 years, nearly 35 billion different humans have walked the earth. 35 billion. Now, let's have some real fun with that massive number. Let's apply it to one of the most elite activities known to mankind, summiting Mount Everest. Of that 35 billion, how many people in the last 220 years do you think have actually attempted to climb Mount Everest? That answer in just a moment. The first people to officially attempt to climb Mount Everest wasn't until 1921. So from 1800 to 1921, 121 years, the only officially known answer is zero. And those first brave souls in 1921 failed. Over the next 30 years, 10 more expeditions all tried and failed until on May 29, 1953, Edmund Hillary, a New Zealand beekeeper, and Tenzing Norgay, an acclaimed Sherpa climber, became the first people to reach the highest spot on Earth. Greatness unlocked? Well, maybe. So altogether, how many people out of our 35 billion estimate have attempted Mount Everest. Well, no one seems to know the exact number, but a rough estimate is probably less than 20,000 total. So today, in the 2020s, it's estimated that between 800 and 1,000 people attempt to climb Mount Everest every single year. Now, how many of those 20,000 have succeeded? As of March 2021, 5,788 different people have actually reached the summit of Mount Everest. Okay, so let's do a little math summary here. I know that's a lot of numbers. 35 billion or so people have been born in the last 220 years. Less than 20,000 of those have attempted to climb Mount Everest. That's far less than 1%. In fact, it's 0.00000057%. That's 6 zeros less than 1. That is an unfathomably small percentage. And of that unfathomably small percentage, only 5,788 have actually succeeded, and over 14,000 have tried and failed. So if summiting Mount Everest is a mark of greatness in that field, the field of mountain climbing, the number of people who have become great is infinitesimal compared to the 35 billion who've been born just since 1800. Now, that may seem like an extreme example, but if you take the time to think about your chosen field, whether career or hobby, and you take the time to see how many people achieve some historically recognized level of greatness, you'll see the percentages probably aren't much better. Now, that isn't meant to discourage you. It's meant to challenge and inspire you to aim for more than greatness. Let me take you back a couple of decades to the year 2002. A pastor publishes a book, and on the first page of content, the page before the beginning of chapter 1, in large letters, is a simple question. What on earth am I here for? The copy on the inside leaf reads, quote, "Self-help books often suggest that you try to discover the meaning and purpose of life by looking within yourself. But Rick Warren says that is the wrong place to start. You must begin with God, your creator, and his reasons for creating you." End quote. Now, say or think whatever you want about Warren, but I agree wholeheartedly with the statement that I just read you from The Purpose-Driven Life. And it was a message that seemed to resonate with a lot of people. That book has been translated into 137 languages and has sold over 50 million copies in multiple formats. But despite how many people have read the book, I still think the question gnaws at the souls of millions of people. Why am I even here? People like the Instagram influencer I referenced earlier are outselling the message that you are here to achieve greatness. Personally, I think you were made for something more than greatness. In the 8th chapter of his letter to the believers in Rome, the Apostle Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now." Skipping down a few more verses, he continues, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." Our lives, yours and mine, will always be marked by struggles, mistakes, pain, frustration, trials, failures. That's the average. That's normal. And no one escapes that normal. No one gets to be somehow above average in that respect. But you don't have to be crushed by those trials and tribulations and failures and mistakes. And that's what you were made for. Your purpose, the reason you are here, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's more than greatness. That's godliness. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not to say that the idea of greatness has no place in the life of a believer. The Bible uses the word great nearly 350 times. But what the Bible calls great isn't the same as what we typically call great. In fact, in Acts 8:9, a man named Simon had previously practiced sorcery while claiming to be somebody great. Luke makes it pretty clear his claim was false. So how does the Bible define greatness? Hebrews 2:3 says salvation is great. 1 Peter 3:4 says a gentle and quiet spirit is of great worth in God's sight. 2 Peter 1:4 says the promises of God are great and precious. In Matthew 8:10, one of the only times Jesus was amazed was by the centurion's great faith. In Matthew 15:28, Jesus healed a woman's daughter because he said the woman had great faith. In Matthew 5:19, Jesus said, "Whoever does and teaches the commands of God will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." In Matthew 20:26 and Mark 10:43, Jesus says that whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And in Luke 9:48, he told them, quote, "Whoever is least among you, this one is great," end quote. In Luke 1:15, it says that John the Baptist would be called great in the sight of the Lord, will never drink wine or beer, and will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And perhaps most importantly, Luke 1:32, Titus 2:13, Hebrews 4:14, 10:21, and 13:20 all say that Jesus is great. He's our great God, our great high priest, our great shepherd. Now notice, of all those scriptures that I just quoted to you, those things that talk about greatness have absolutely nothing to do with our stereotypical definitions of greatness. So will you achieve some world-renowned, historically recognized level of greatness in your chosen career or hobby? If our Mount Everest example is any indicator, then statistically speaking, probably not. But that doesn't matter, because that isn't why you are here on this earth. So with respect to our Instagram influencer who said, quote, "You were made for greatness. You were born for greatness," end quote. You aren't here to make your name great. You're here to proclaim the greatness of Christ, our great high priest and our great shepherd, with your life. You are here to have a great faith through which you receive a great salvation. You're here to learn to stand on the great and precious promises of God. You're here to do and teach the commands of our great God and to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ so that God Himself can call you great. If you can make that way of thinking part of who you are, it will absolutely transform your life. Remember, a better mind always leads to a better life.